Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Still tuned. It's gone 8:10 right here on Glorious Morning. It's time now to just showcase the men and women in ministry, people who take their time and sacrifice their livelihoods and just say we're going to be doing nothing but serving the Lord and serving His people. And yes, today we're talking to Umfundisi Mudiri, and I'm not going to give too much information as I want him to really get to tell us exactly who he is. He joins us now on the line. Umfundisi, good morning and welcome to Adventist World Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Good morning to you and to all your listeners.
Thank you so much, Umfundisi. Thank you so much. Umfundisi, today we just want to go behind the curtain as to understand who you are. Can you tell us who is, what they say, BG Mudiri? And I love how it's always initialized like that, BG Mudiri. Who are we talking about? Let's forget Ubu Pastor. Who are we talking about when we say BG Mudiri?
You're talking about a father, you're talking about a husband, you're talking about a brother to some siblings, you're talking to a son to some parents.
Mfundisi, we seem to be losing you. Let me see if I can try maybe get you back on a different line, Pastor, because this line is breaking. We're hardly hearing even the line. It's also quite faint. Let me see if I can get you back on a different line, my Pastor. We cannot dare afford to miss what the Pastor is going to be saying to us this morning. Already listeners are saying, hey, Asimuzo Mfundisi, we want to ensure that we hear everything that the Pastor has to say for us. And of course, as we go through the conversation with Pastor Mudiri this morning, we invite you as listeners to join in the conversation, actually, and just connect with the pastor as well, and ensure that you get to ask those questions, you know, that you've always wanted to know, and you get to hear his thoughts, and then you can obviously communicate with us right here on the station on +27 73 470 3520. That number again is 073 470 3520, and of course that number will get you right here into the studio as we speak to Umfundisi Mudiri this morning. And you're welcome, of course, from wherever you are, to also be connecting us and being part of this conversation. Let's see if we can get Umfundisi on a different line as we try to ensure that we go into this conversation hearing clearly what the pastor has to say to us this morning. Okay, the number is connecting. Let's just see if it's going to be working much better. Umfundisi, good morning and welcome back. Can you hear us much better on this one?
Can you hear me now?
Ah, there we go, Umfundisi. It's like you are actually in this room right here. Thank you so much for allowing us to just reconnect with you there. Okay, Umfundisi, you were telling us about BG. What does BG stand for? I mean, we always see those big initials, the BG Mudiri. Who is that? What does that stand for?
Oh, well, BG doesn't stand for anything.
I'm Fundis, no.
I'm being serious. Those are not my initials.
Uh-huh.
BG is what it is. And
wow.
I'm told that I actually named myself BG when I was young.
Okay.
Yeah. And I had an aunt.
Okay.
Her name was Sipati.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to call her Pati at home. But I couldn't say Pati.
Mm.
All I could say was BG. Now, I don't know how Pati and BG.
And BG, yeah, you can ask that again.
You know, yeah, I don't know how where they met and how they met. But they say that's how I used to call her. And now instead of that name sticking to her, it actually stuck with me,
it became your name.
And it became my name. But but it really stands for nothing. My those are not my initials.
So what's your name then, Fundis?
My name is, I've got three names.
Okay.
Moladudi Lotlamoring Abraham. And that is why my initials are MLA. Mm-hmm. My official initials are MLA.
Wow.
Moladudi Lotlamoring Abraham.
Wow. And then all we know today is BG Mudiri.
All you know is BG. Everybody calls me BG.
Oh, wow. Another thing, that's an exciting story. And what is you were telling us as well about some family there. Can you maybe just tell us a bit more on that? What do you mean when you say family, from where to where, your current nucleus? Give us some more details on that.
Yeah, look, like I said, I was born in Alexandra. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in Alexandra, got educated in Alexandra.
Okay.
My mother was a teacher. And I was actually brought up by my grandparents. Mm. Because my grandfather never had male children. Okay. So when I was born as the eldest son to my mother, my grandfather then took me and raised me up as his own son.
Yes.
Yeah, as a result, the surname Mudiri is actually my grandfather's surname.
Oh.
It's not my father's surname because my grandfather wanted me to be the heir.
Okay.
Of this name and perpetuate this name. And so he was a man of substantial means. He had businesses and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but never had a male child. I have three siblings. Actually, we were five at home.
Okay.
One died, my elder sister, and myself, and then my brother who comes after me, who's now a professor at some university in Australia.
Oh, okay.
And then there's another brother who passed away, and then our youngest sister. Yeah. In terms of the nucleus of my family, right now I'm married to Wendy, and then we have three children, Uhense and Naledi and Tsepo.
Okay.
Uhense is running his own business, and Naledi is a medical doctor, and Tsepo is in Cape Town working for a digital marketing company there. I think it's a very big company. Yeah.
What a story. Is Pastor Mudiri Mkulu?
Yes, I've got grandchildren. By the way, I've got grandchildren. I've got two grandchildren.
Oh, nice.
Mudiri and Waruna Mudiri.
Wow.
I'm enjoying my grandchildren. They are a joy to be around.
I can imagine that. Mfundisi, where did you go to school? Maybe can you talk to us about education, especially as well as work before you came into ministry? Did you go into other industries before you became a pastor as well?
Yeah. After completing matric, I went to Vista University to do a secondary education diploma as a teacher.
All right.
And I then went to Bethel to go and study a ministry. It was 1986 when I went to Bethel after I'd been to Vista. But I did not complete at Bethel.
Oh, okay.
Then I came back. Yes, I came back and I worked for Standard Bank. And then I went back to Bethel after that, around 89, to go and complete. And then from there, came back, worked a bit, and I started my own business. I can tell about my businesses if you're interested
definitely,
in that.
And then I
went to Helderberg to complete my degree, and then went to Stellenbosch to do MBA, which I did not complete, by the way. I just did the coursework, never submitted any paper. That's my educational background.
It's fascinating. You said you used you went to, and you did teaching. Did you ever utilize that qualification?
No, I didn't.
So from that you then went to stand. You went straight from there to Bethel.
I went to Bethel, correct, yes.
Okay, and then you went to Standard Bank. I love that you've got, three sessions in going back for ministry training. You went to Bethel once, you went back to Bethel, and then you went to Helderberg?
Yes. I went to, three times. Mm. And that should tell you that this was a real calling.
Yeah, I can imagine you kept on going back to it. And I can't wait to have a discussion as well regarding that, to say, okay, why the back and forth here? But for now, I want to hear about this business, Mfundisi. You're saying you started your own business.
Yeah, well, around around 1990. Now let me put it this way.
Okay.
I come from a business background.
Okay.
Like I told you, my...
Yes, from the grandfather's side, yes. Okay, it looks like we lost the pastor for a second there. Mfundisi, can you hear us? Okay, I'm not sure why, but I see the pastor is connected. But hey, you're one of these things of network, Nje. Let's see if we can just try and raise the pastor back again so that we can have a conversation. We definitely cannot miss this conversation. I was loving where it was about to go as Mfundisi was telling us his involvement in business and how that's in his blood, actually, as Grandpa was also involved in business. Let's see if Mfundisi is back on the line. Mfundisi,
yes,
welcome back.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, man. We lost you when you were about to tell us on how business is actually in your blood, coming from the grandfather's lineage there.
Yeah, my grandfather had businesses, so I used to help him in business.
Okay.
So around 93, after I'd been to Bethel for the second time, I could not be absorbed into the ministry. I then started a general dealer business, a shop. I ran a shop in Alexandra.
All right.
And that led to another business, which was a refuse removal business, again, in Alexandra. And then I got an opportunity to do plumbing, and then that plumbing then grew into a construction. Construction, and then just around 95, I then went back to school. I went to Helderberg, and while I was at Helderberg studying, I was still running this business, plumbing business and construction business. And then I started a financing business, a small financing business, and then that grew into mining business. After I completed my degree, I did mining as well, and then consulting. So
that's about four businesses now. I've counted, if I'm not mistaken, if not even five.
I think about five. And now I work with my son. My son is now running the whole thing now that I'm full time in ministry. So I've left everything with my son. He's running the construction business, and export and import, a business that we involved in at the stage with him. But he's running the whole thing. So business is just in our system.
Indeed,
it runs in our system. Now he has an interesting thing, and I often tell people this. My maternal grandfather was a businessman, and my paternal grandfather was a minister of religion in the Moravian Church. I've combined both.
You're a combination of both those expertise, skills. Yes, I can see.
Correct.
No, that is great, Mfundisi. That is great. And I love that. I love that about you, Mfundisi. And I think we only are benefited by such a wealth of resource that you are. I think take it from me as one of the parishioners that are growing under you, that we are so benefited by you. And even as you teach and as you speak to us, we can hear that these things are you, Mfundisi. You know, it's not sometimes people learn to do things. These are something that is in you. And I can't wait to talk about that ministry calling, Mfundisi. You said three times. The first time you went, you didn't complete. You then went back and finished off, but you couldn't be absorbed in ministry. And I love that story, because sometimes we people look at ministry as a fallback, you know, to say life was not working, therefore I chose ministry as, you know, at least if I fail in life, I can then do ministry. But here you are, Mfundisi, saying, yes, ministry, you are wanting to go to ministry. But when it wasn't working, you then said, no, I can do business. And even in my midst of my businesses, which are succeeding and even today are still existing, I will still go back to ministry. I love that. But how did the call come, though, Mfundisi, before we get to that move? How did the call come? How were you knowing that ministry is where you're wanting to end up?
Yeah, look, it's a very interesting story. And I always tell people, I was about 15 years old when I decided that I was going to become a minister of religion.
All right.
And I was not even an Adventist then. At home, we were Methodists.
Okay.
Right? And when I was 15 years, I remember at our local Methodist church in Alexandra, there was a two-week campaign,
Okay.
That was conducted in our church, but it was conducted by about 14 ministers. Now, we call them reverends at that time. Yeah, we call them reverends. Our local reverend, Reverend Muleleki, invited about 14 reverends to come and conduct that two-week campaign in our local church. And I attended every day of that 2 weeks. Every day. Now, this is what impressed me about them at that time. Number one, a number of things that impressed me about them. One, you know, the sermons. I realized when I was young that I appreciated good preaching. And secondly, I was impressed by, you know, those gowns and collars and and the type of thing. You know, after a sermon, these guys would stand in the quad there, all 15 of them in those gowns and collars, and they were very dignified. Some of them were tall and heavy, and you know, I remember one day as after a service, and they were standing there and they were just talking among themselves, and I looked at them and I said, you know what? This is what I'm going to become when I'm of age. So I prayed. I remember I prayed when I got home that, Lord, please help me that one day when I'm old, I must, or when I'm of age, I must work for you like those reverends that I saw there. And I was impressed by them, the gowns, the collars, and you know, the respect that they commanded and the dignity that they had.
And this is so like 15 prayed. Years.
I was 15 years of age. And I often say to people, the only problem with that prayer is that I did not specify the denomination, you know. I was in the Methodist church and I was impressed by that. All I prayed for was to become a minister of religion, but God had his own ideas. I wanted to be a minister of religion in the Methodist
church. And wear those gowns as well and those collars.
And where there were those gowns and those collars and that type of thing. So I did not specify that in the Methodist church. So God answered the prayer, but placed me elsewhere.
Placed you elsewhere.
And I don't regret that. I don't regret that.
No, and we are benefited today for that, Mfundisi. We truly appreciate that.
Exactly. So I was 15 years of age when I was away of my inclination to become a minister of religion. And that impression never left me. Of course, I've had detours. Like I say, you know, I went to Vista. And then after that, went to Bethel. I couldn't finish at Bethel in 86. I actually got expelled, by the way, at Bethel.
Okay.
That's an interesting story.
Okay.
I got expelled.
What happened, Funis? We don't take you as a naughty man. What happened?
Student activism.
Okay.
At that time, our church was very intolerant of political activism. So I went there with, you know, this idea of... at that time, around 86, I mean, the country was up on fire.
True.
You remember well, the youth all over the place were agitating. So I came from Alexandra, and I could say that was the heart of youth activism and student activism.
I
went to Bethel, and I started, you know, influencing things, but they couldn't tolerate that. So they basically said, and I was found with bent material at that time. You know, what was regarded as banned material at that time. They called it subversive material. So because of that, then the school decided to expel me. So I was expelled in 1986. And then around 1988, I met with Pastor Mark Haven Chuma, who was now the head of theology department at Bethel.
Okay.
I met him at a funeral, and then he asked me, you know, he said, I checked the records and I saw your name there, but I did not know what happened to you because I realized that you did not complete. And I told him, I said, no, but I was expelled because of this. And he said, it was because of that? I said, yes. He said, are you sure it did not have anything to do with girls and stuff like that? I said, no. No girls, it was student activism. And then he said, I want you back.
Wow.
That's why the following year I went back.
Oh, you managed to then go back.
I managed to go back. So he actually convinced the administration when he got back to Bethel that honestly you could not have expelled this guy for this thing. Mm. And I want him back. So Mark Chuma got me back. Yeah, got me back. And so I went there 89. And then while we were there, then the theology department actually closed down.
At Bethel College?
Yes, it closed down around 90. It closed down and they transferred students to Helderberg. I wasn't sponsored. Mm-hmm. I was sponsoring myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a combination of the program closing and the fact that I was running out of funds. And so I then had to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I then had to come back home to hustle so that I can get money. That's how I started my businesses.
Okay. And I love this because you're saying you're making money, but it's not just to benefit yourself, but to further your education so that you can get this call that you made and you pledged to God at 15 to say, I'm going to be this minister father. And you're saying, I want to then support that. And you went on to do that. But you see, I'm so moved, though, by the story you're telling us and how you got expelled from school. And I guess it would you say, though, that and I know I'm getting a bit to the fringe side here, that the church has grown in terms of tolerance from then and to now, since you're still a minister in the church?
Yeah, look, I think the church is very tolerant now.
Okay.
And they've realized that issues of social justice are very important.
Okay.
And that if we do not tolerate that, it will not be long. We will actually be very irrelevant.
True.
And I'm not sure that we are where we're supposed to be.
Okay.
With respect to issues of social relevant,
mm-hmm.
but social justice. But at least we have made a move in the right direction compared to what it was like, you know, in the 80s. In the 80s, mm-hmm. they never tolerated that. They would not even tolerate you say anything regarding that from a pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a problem. That would be a very big problem. But the church has improved, and we are accommodating, and we do make some declarations here and there. But like I said, we're not there yet.
Where we're supposed to be, there's still room for growth. I like that. I like that. But in your personal capacity, Mfundisi, that activism spirit, is it still alive in you?
Not so much so in church.
Okay.
Not much in church, but I belong to other forums.
Okay.
Where I push issues of social justice and economics, you know, justice, and I'm involved in those.
And
we're trying to uplift the communities, particularly the community I come from, Alexandra.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you should know that Alexandra is probably one of the poorest townships in South Africa, overpopulated, riddled with crime and stuff like that. So we've got a number of forums there. Looking at social transformation, economic transformation, and the type of thing. So my involvement is not really political.
Okay.
I am marrying my calling
mm-hmm.
as a minister of religion with socio-economic issues. And that's why I'm involved. So I'm deeply involved in those things. Yeah,
I like that. I think I actually saw. I remember seeing an article that you had published. You had published in a local publication where they were speaking on how you were speaking against some. I think it was xenophobic, if I'm not mistaken, or something to that effect, where you were speaking against what was happening in one of our local societies. And I remember saying, that's what we need to see, even though it might be in your personal capacity, but still we want to hear people who are championing our causes coming as well, being our leaders as well. And I think it makes a lot of difference, and it gives a lot of encouragement and confidence as well to those who are then following, to say, no, this is not just something that is ethereal, something that is for the heavenly future, but even today in this world, we are useful.
Correct, correct, correct. Yeah, I do write articles from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
My articles are published by independent media as
okay.
well, because certain views are not tolerated, by the way, by the mainstream media. So I wrote an article on vaccinations a couple of months back.
Oh yes, yes, and I saw that one as well.
Yeah, it was published. So, I do my little bit, you know. I'm not sure that I'm doing enough, but I do my little bit in that area.
I think doing something, Mfundisi, is better than doing nothing at all. You say you're right, Mfundisi. Are you an author or do you just do the articles alone?
Look, I just do articles,
okay.
and I've
okay.
been contemplating. I've been contemplating writing a book.
Definitely.
I think I've got enough material to write books, but my area of passion when it comes to ministry
mm-hmm.
is family life and apologetics.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So I've been contemplating on writing something on apologetics and family life. Yeah. Those are my areas of interest.
Okay. Okay. What is it? You remind me, actually, now that you mentioned that, I think I saw you as well, that you're a board director for a voice clinic or something of the sort.
Yeah, voice clinic. I'm a board director.
Does this have anything to do with you singing, Mfundisi? Because I know that you're a singer, and I don't know why you didn't mention it to us when we were asking you about yourself. Because Mfundisi is quite a prolific singer, if I'm not mistaken.
Look, I'll come to that. Yeah, I'm a director at Voice Clinic.
Okay.
And I've been there for the past 15 years and a shareholder there. I actually own 30% of Voice Clinic.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I own 30% of Voice Clinic.
Mm.
And with respect to music, yes, I've been singing long before I became an Adventist, by the way.
Wow.
And that's how I came into the Adventist church.
Jesus.
It was through music. Yeah, it was through music. I wasn't preached to. I wasn't evangelized to come into the Adventist church. It was because of music.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were mimicking your King's Messengers, your City Heralds, your King's Heralds. And I had access to that music even before I became an Adventist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I then discovered that
Mfundisi, are you there?
They are singing.
Okay.
It is that they are Seventh-day Adventists. You see?
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what attracted me to the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
So you were just aware of these musicians in your own private space, and then you didn't discover that these were actually Adventists.
These were actually Seventh-day Adventists.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what I discovered. I mean, King's Messengers.
Okay, looks like the network is beginning to act up again. I'm not too sure why.
Seventh-day Adventists. And I then decided that hey, maybe that's where I should go. And
wow.
I got invited to go and listen to a quartet
okay.
that was singing in our local church in Alexandra. And I went there. And then after that, I became an Adventist. That very day, I decided to become an Adventist.
Mm. Wow.
Yes.
Just because of the music.
As a result of music. As a result of music.
I guess it just goes to tell you the power of music, does it not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that is why I'm still involved in music right now.
Mm-hmm.
And not only am I singing,
mm-hmm.
But I'm also producing now. I'm also producing music. I'm sure you would have seen some videos making rounds of Orion Ensemble.
Okay, yes,
Orion
yes.
Ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm the one who's producing that.
You're producing them. Okay.
We are busy with our second project now. The idea is to produce a DVD, CD, one or two DVDs per year.
Mm.
So we are busy with our second one now. And my whole family, by the way, is involved in music. All of us sing.
All of you sing. Wow.
All of us sing. All of us. And my children can play
mm-hmm.
Instruments. I often say, if you claim that you are a Mudiri,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't ask for a DNA.
Okay.
We check if you can hold a note.
You can't hold a note. That's your paternity test right there.
That's our paternity test.
If you can't hold a note, we become questioning.
Then go where you belong.
What a high calling. What a high calling. Funisi, where are you based currently in ministry?
I'm in the Greater Soweto District.
Okay.
I'm pastoring churches in Soweto.
Okay. Okay.
That's why I am in terms of the ministry. Mm. And these of course belong to the Trans Orange Conference.
Okay. Looking at your ministry years, Mfundisi, so if you're saying you started when you left Helderberg, when were you then finally absorbed into ministry? Because you never got to discuss that part, to say you started off from Bethel and Helderberg, you never got it absorbed. When did you then finally get absorbed into the ministry?
I went, remember that I went to Helderberg and I graduated in 1998.
Okay.
And then I went to Stellenbosch.
Okay.
Like I said, to do MBA. I did not complete that MBA.
Yes, you remember you said, yeah.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on when that's going to happen, Mfundisi? Any thoughts on when that is going to happen, or you don't see yourself ever submitting that coursework?
I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure because right now my schedule is so busy.
I can imagine.
I don't have time for anything at this stage. At any rate, this is what I was saying. So 99, mm-hmm. and then around 2000, I then got absorbed into the ministry by the Cape Conference.
Okay.
But it was on a self-supporting basis. I'd asked them not to pay me.
Wow.
But to pastor. So wow. I pastored five churches for four or five years somewhere there, without being paid at all. Not even travel costs, nothing. But I pastored about five churches while I was running my own businesses.
And that's because of the love of the ministry.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Then around 2008, I moved back to Joburg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I moved back to Joburg in 2009, I pastored Kelvin until 2011,
mm-hmm.
and it was a private arrangement between me and Kelvin.
Okay.
And then around 2012, then the TOC actually said, I need to join them. And I've been then in the ministry since that time.
Wow. Recent, Mfundisi, you know, like I'm saying, you've been ministering for so long, but only recently did you then finally get absorbed.
Yes, and because all this time I've been working on a self-supporting basis. I never felt the need that the church should actually pay me. You know,
we need more like you, Mfundisi. We need more men like you.
I work for church. And I'm still of the same opinion. It's mm-hmm. just that you know, the church doesn't see that way.
But
I am of the opinion that I would love to work for the church without a pay while I'm running my own businesses. And that would free the budget for somebody else.
Wow.
But unfortunately, the church doesn't see it that way. Mm. And Cape Conference, I must say, it was a miracle for them to actually
agree
and
to
it was
that
progressive for them
yes.
to have allowed that type of a situation.
Mm.
And sometimes I'm saying I was lucky because Papu was in the administration. Papu was my good friend.
And
I'm sure he pushed it on those bases, you know. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would like to do that. And I know that there are many other pastors who are gifted in other areas
who can
give church their time and their talents in exchange for nothing.
Mm.
And still serve the church, you know, and free up the budget for other ministers. Who can do it? But my rationale is this. Mm-hmm, imagine this. If you've got 10 pastors who are gifted in other areas, who can do businesses and who can do that and do that and do that,
mm-hmm.
and we allow them to do those, but pastor churches and free their budgets, 10 of them would give you something like about, would free about between 3 to 4 million rand per annum. Now, can you imagine what the church can do with 4 million rand in terms of conference development? Now, I wish we can have administrators who can see that way and they can realize they make money while not compromising the services to the churches.
But as you mentioned that, Mfundisi, I remember quite recently, some couple of years back, there was an arrangement with one of the local conferences where they were having that, I don't know if they call them volunteer pastors or something of the sort, and they were doing that. I don't know how, because I know that that program ended. Not sure what the details of that are, but I remember there was something to that effect where people were just saying, you know what, we've got what we do, our businesses, our jobs, or whatever, but we want to serve the church in this capacity because we love the ministry. And there was something like that going on, but that program ended. I know that currently it's not running anymore.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that. I haven't heard of that. But I mean, that would have been a very good thing. And and if that thing happened, I don't know why it was stopped.
It would be stopped.
Because honestly, we can have a lot of workers if that type of an arrangement can be entered into. Can be entertained. So that's where I'm at. And that is why I've relinquished the businesses to my son.
Okay.
My son is running those businesses right now.
Okay.
For the family.
All right.
While I'm full time in the ministry.
Okay.
Because it's called conflict of interest, and I don't think it is, in my opinion. I don't think it is. But look, I'm not a policymaker.
True.
Yeah, I'm not a policymaker, so I just have to abide.
I can't finish off. I know that we are way over time, but I can't finish this segment without hearing maybe one or two of the ministry highlights. Surely in this illustrious career that you've had in ministry, there should be something that you say, I remember this one time that God moved mightily.
You know, it's very difficult to even come up with any incident where I can say God has moved mightily, because God is moving mightily almost every day in my life.
All the time.
And in my ministry, you know. I've run campaigns, I've run weeks of prayer, not only in the country, but I've had the privilege to travel the world doing campaigns. And brought hundreds, if not thousands, of people to God.
Amen.
But I would
Amen.
Like to highlight that I was in Uganda, and I had a campaign in Uganda for about a week. They had it for 10 days.
Okay,
so I was doing two things. It was a week of prayer during the day. At Kampala Central Church, and then it was a campaign at Makerere University. So I was preaching in the morning at the church, and then go to the university, and I mean, we had close to about 1,000-2,000 people at every sitting in the evening at Kampala at Makerere University. And I remember we baptized in excess of 500 people there.
Amen.
So it was a highlight, you know, for me. I've been to Rwanda at the Adventist University of Central Africa in Rwanda twice. Beautiful experience that I've had there. Even there, we baptized, you know, hundreds of people.
So
God has been blessing my ministry.
Oh yes.
In a number of ways, brought a lot of people to the Lord, and I enjoy it. Really enjoy it. Ministry has its own challenges and difficulties. You know, there are times when you feel like Elijah, and you've run away from Jezebel, alone somewhere in a cave, and you think you are the only one. But there are times when you have your Mount Carmel experience.
Amen.
You know, where you see God rain fire. So ministry is like that. But having been involved in it for so many years, I really enjoy it, and I couldn't want anything better.
Amen. Amen to that, Mfundisi. Amen to that. Mfundisi, Maybe I can't let you go without hearing that famous devotions that come from you, Mfundisi, and I love I've been in many of your sessions where you also conduct these family ministries. Like you're saying, that's your passion, and we can see that. But today we want to hear just a devotion. So, Mfundisi, I'm going to take a quick break. We get a song here quickly, and then you come and you give us a 5-minute devotion. Is that okay?
That's okay. That's fine.
Sir. Thank you so much. Stay tuned, dear saints, as we listen to this beautiful piece of music. Coming back in just a few will be Pastor Mudiri. It's MLA Bazalwane. It's MLA, not BG. It's MLA, not BG. Who's going to be giving us the devotion this morning as we close off this beautiful, beautiful show we've just had. But stay tuned, coming up just after this.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Thank you. I would like to call your attention to a very familiar passage. Very simple but very profound passage as recorded by Matthew chapter 5 verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Mm. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. These are the words of Christ. He was speaking to his disciples after preaching the Beatitudes to them. And he says to them, If you exemplify these Beatitudes in your life, if you are characterized by these principles in your life, then you are the salt of the earth. You are this that should preserve the earth. Mm. You know. Now he was saying this to a bunch of 12 disciples who were weak, who were not influential at that time, who did not have power, who were not as educated. But Christ looks at them and he says, you are the earth, the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. And, you know, I've reflected on this passage. I've preached on this passage before several times, and it amazes me in terms of its power and its relevance to the world today. Mm-hmm. Now, for the next 2, 3, 4 minutes, allow me to just explain what salt does.
Okay.
And why Christ said to the disciples, you know, you are the salt of the earth. Now, one of the properties of salt is that it brings savor to food. There are certain foods you can't eat without salt. They are insipid. They are tasteless. They are not enjoyable. So you need a little bit of salt to make them tasty, to make them enjoyable. And Christ says to his disciples, and he says to us, by the way, you are the salt of the earth. Now, what that means is life on earth is insipid, is tasteless without us Christians. We are the ones who should make life tasty. We are the ones who should make life enjoyable as Christians. We are the ones who should make people to look forward to life, to waking up every morning and say, I enjoy life. And we do so because of the message that we have.
Okay.
The gospel message that we carry is the saltiness in our lives. And you know, once you contaminate that gospel message, once you contaminate that which makes you a Christian, and which is the gospel of Christ, then Christ says, you are not worthy of anything. Actually, you should be trampled upon by man. You know, your existence is in vain. So it is as we interact with people and we live out this gospel that people walk away from us
with a good taste of life and wanting to live it with meaning. So we should not lose sight of that as Christians. We are the salt of the earth, and as a result, we bring taste to the lives of people. The second thing, it is that life is a preservative. I mean, rather, salt is a preservative. Salt is a preservative. In those days, during the times of Christ, they never had refrigerators and giant refrigerators and cooling storages, you know. So what they used to do is they used to use salt to preserve food, to preserve meat. Okay. Because without that salt, the meat would decay, the food would decay. And it is the same with us today. Christ said to his disciples, he's saying to us, you are the salt of the earth. In other words, without you, this world, this earth has no option but to decay, to rot, and to stink. And you can look at life today. Should you take away the gospel of Christ? Should you take away the light of Christ from this world? This world is actually rotting. Morally, politically, we see decadence everywhere. There are no values. Not only are there no values anymore in the lives of people, but there is an inversion of values. Right has become wrong. Bad has become good. There's moral decay. Now, Christ has deployed us in this earth so that we can arrest that process of putrefaction,
okay,
of decay. The reason why we can still live in this world, it is because Christ has put us in this world as Christians to preserve it, to keep it together. And once we lose that, then our living is in vain. But here's the third thing. One writer says, Thomas Lloyd-Jones says, one of the properties of salt is that salt remains essentially different to the medium into which it is put. When you put salt in food, salt doesn't become that food. Salt remains salt in that food. It doesn't get confused by the fact that it's mixed with food and then becomes food. And that is why you can still taste it after you've cooked it with food. And so Jesus Christ said, you are the salt of the earth. In other words, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. So you need to remain different. You need to remain distinguished, and you need to remain distinguishable. And as Christians, for us to remain the salt of the earth, we need to be different in our speech. We need to be different in our deportment. We need to be different in how we dress, in what we eat, the music we listen to, the movies we watch, the company we keep, the books we read. You know, that we need to be different. Now, Christ said, I'm praying that you should be different to the world, but not that you should be removed from the world. Because salt can only work if it is integrated with the food into which it is put. And now there's a beautiful lesson that we can learn from that. We need to be in the world in order to reach the world.
Yep.
But we need to be different to the world in order to teach them.
Amen.
If we are not in it, we will not reach it. But if we are not different to it, we will not teach it. And so it is my prayer, it is my wish that we can be the salt of the earth. And let's not contaminate that salt so that it loses its savor. Because once that happens, Christ says, there is no way that we can retain that saltiness. Once we've lost it, then we're not good for anything but to be trampled upon by men. May God help us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. For a second, can you pray with us?
We are praying, our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being Christians and of being called by your name. It is a privilege we don't take for granted, Lord. We know that you've called us because we have faith in us. Sinful as we are, weak as we are men and women of clay, broken and brought together and put together by your grace. And so it is our prayer, Lord, that you keep us in the hall of your hand, broken and mended as we are. Make us the salt of the earth. May we bring about change and taste and savor in the lives of people. May we ensure that we preserve this earth for as long as you wish us to do so, so that it does not descend into irretrievable decay. And above it all, we pray, Father, that you make us different so that we can be able to teach your people and be the light of the earth. For this we pray and for this we thank you. For we ask in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mbuniswami, thank you so, so much for just taking the time today to talk to us about yourself first, and also for giving us this beautiful devotion and praying as well with our listeners this year.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. And may you continue to also guide you and keep your ministry as well.
Okay. God bless, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, that's how we close off the show right here on Adventist World Radio. This was a glorious morning. Thank you very much for being with me and just taking the time to listen in and tune in and be a part of our discourse this morning as we went through the morning drive. We truly appreciate all the guests who came through and spent their time talking to us this morning. We truly appreciate you. And also, above all else, we thank you. We thank you, the listener from home who took the time as well to just listen in and gave us a hearing as we went through this morning, and for the conversation as well. One of our listeners here saying, you know what, what a deep lesson from Pastor Mudiri. Indeed, without salt, food decays. What a powerful analogy. And as well, it gives taste to life. So that's us Christians giving taste to life. I truly love this and embrace it. What a privilege. Indeed, that is a privilege that we are having, for having ministers who can share such insights with us on a daily basis. Stay tuned. Don't go away. The show continues in terms of right here on Adventist World Radio. Sibongile Lugube is coming up in just a few to give us the mid-morning empowerment, and she's going to be taking us through to the hour 12 o'clock. But for me and the glorious morning team, I'm saying until we meet again on Monday next week, we stay tuned, stay blessed, and continue to be in God's keeping. God bless.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.